Let us pray. O God, your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. As we turn to your scripture, send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace, so that the good news of your love would shine before our eyes and delight our senses, so that we cannot help but respond with wonder, faith, and trust. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Listen for God's word. Finally, my brothers and sisters, farewell. Be restored. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
Beginnings and endings are pivotal to how we understand things. That holds especially true of our Gospels. Matthew's Gospel begins with a listing of the names, the genealogy of Jesus, impressive names, historic names, and even a few women's names thrown in there. Today, we'll look at how this Gospel ends. So let's listen to the living word from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the names and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your spirit stir us this day and speak your word more clearly and to us. Amen. So, what's in a name? Some names are really catchy, and some are kind of dorky, and some scream power, and some are just cringeworthy. Over time, many, many famous people have changed their names for one reason or another. So let's see if you know the less popular names of a few of these people. I'll tell you the given name, and you tell me if you know who the more popular, what they're more popularly known as. So we'll start off easy. Norma Jean Mortensen. There we go. Marilyn Monroe. Archibald Leach. Cary Grant. You guys are good at this. Marian Morrison. John Wayne. Catherine Hudson. My younger guys. Katy Perry. All right. Reginald Dwight. Elton John. And one last one, Karen Johnson. Whoopi Goldberg. How did you get your name? How many of you were named after somebody? Yeah, a lot of people. How many of you know the story behind how you got your name? Yeah. If you have children, think back about the process of naming. In many Jewish and Catholic families, it's very important that their child's name comes from the Bible. If a name doesn't fit or is disliked, people often change their names. Many people have nicknames that they go by. How many of you have a nickname? Yeah, lots of you out there. So, those of you who raised your hands, if you ever go to the hospital and you want your pastor to be able to see you, I must know your legal name, or they won't tell me you're there or where you are. Some cultures name children Jesus. But mainline Christians, and most of us, kind of drift away from that one. My given names, Laura, comes from Dr. Zhivago, Rain, honoring one of my mother's friends, and Cooper, the barrel makers of the world. Today, we plan ahead with the family names, but biblical names often carry lots of meaning if you dive into their roots and their histories. They tell us about the characters, giving us hints about the people behind those labels. Jesus gave one disciple the name Peter, the rock on which the church will stand. In the beginning of Matthew, Joseph is told that Mary will bear a son, and he is to name him Yeshua, or Jesus. And the name Jesus means God saves. But then Matthew tells us that God tells Joseph that Jesus will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So now as we conclude this last verse, it wraps it back and it says, "Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." If that isn't intentional packaging, bookending the start of the book, Emmanuel, and I will be with you till the end of the age, I don't know what is. And we need that. How do we name, label, and describe God and all that God is to us? These last verses of Matthew not only help with the three persons of God, but they point us in the direction of what that means to us. The verses are often nicknamed the Great Commission. Matthew wraps up Jesus' final appearance with the images that were a vital part of who God was in relationship with us and what that relationship calls us to be. The good news for us Presbyterian types who run away from the word evangelism quickly is that our top priority is not to baptize. Rather, the emphasis is to create disciples. Wait a minute. That sounded easier until I dug into it more. The baptism's one event and it's done, but creating disciples is an ongoing, never-ending job, teaching and learning, a cycle for our whole lives. Perhaps this might be our style anyway, though, if you consider how you're supposed to do the teaching. We not only dig in and learn and study Scripture together, what it says and how we're supposed to lead our lives, what does this book that's really old say about our current modern day, but more importantly, we teach with our actions, by the way we live, by showing mercy to a world overwhelmed with judgment, by living with compassion, holding out a helping hand or an unexpected care or a smile in a world where hatred and division have become all too accepted. We teach one gentle, caring gesture at a time. This is so important for who we are as Christians that in our church, ministers are known by another title as teaching elders. But what are we to teach? This confusing concept of the Trinity? Well, if you look at the verses that are before us today, there could be a sermon or even a thesis on every single verse. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you. Matthew goes out with a bang indeed. So let's look at it from a high level, the who, what, when, and where. Let's take it in reverse. Where? Jesus calls the 11 disciples to a mountaintop in Galilee. Not Jerusalem, not Bethlehem, a foreign land, home of the Gentiles. Setting is important. Imagine on the top of that mountain the lands they could see beyond any city walls, looking over all the divisions. Jesus is pushing home the point that good news wasn't just for one nation or one people at all. When? We've kind of touched on this already. It's the last verse of the gospel, so it's after the resurrection. This is Jesus' final appearance. It is now indisputable to the disciples that Jesus is the risen Lord. All power in God rests in him, wholly human and wholly divine. The disciples needed direction. What is this that we're supposed to teach? They doubted. Yes, they were unsure of what exactly had just happened. But they worshiped, and God called them, perhaps not in spite of the doubt, but because of their doubt. They were taking Jesus' teachings seriously rather than just at a surface level. A faith that requires us to transform our lives by its very nature engenders doubt if you take it seriously enough. It changes our accepted norms. It changes our very identities. They needed reassurance again and again that they were not alone, that they were never abandoned by God. What is it that they are to do? They have been sent out to heal and to teach, but now they're going out and making disciples, equipping other teachers. Now all authority has been given, nothing held back. Looking to the example of Jesus, God with us, we are to live our lives in a way guided by the Beatitudes and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God and to love one another, centering all of our relationships on mercy and compassion. What better way to show the world what following Christ means, what Christianity is? What better way to teach about this convoluted concept of Trinity? In fact, it's probably the only way. The Trinity is actually not written about in the Bible much as a definitive theology at all. Theologians came up with that hundreds of years later as we sought to better understand the unnameable. To grasp this mystery, to grasp the depth and breadth of relationship of all nations intertwined together with people, with one another, and with God. No person or entity apart. This Trinity model of God in relationship helps adjust our eyes, and it helps us grasp just one little infinitesimal part of our God, who, though so beyond us, loves us beyond mere description. Who, no matter the name of God that we use, God truly is love, abundant and unending love. Whether this is a man born of a virgin, an omnipotent creator, a Holy Spirit in and through each and every one of us, the images in our scripture abound. Vine, shepherd, word, dove, teacher, and many more. God coming at us again and again to remind us we are loved and we are not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us always. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. No matter how we say it, the names we use, we keep trying by naming in new ways. But there's no name that can capture this vast concept in all and through all and beyond all that we can understand. It comes down to the forever task of spending our lives yearning and diving into deeper relationship that breaks every boundary, that shatters every divide. It looks into each precious child and knows they are beloved. Ascension Sunday makes the way for the authority to descend to earth in a new way. Pentecost Sunday, where we had read last week, burns all divides and ignites our hearts anew. Now, this third Sunday in that trifecta, Trinity Sunday, assures us of whose we are and of who we are, pulling us closer together in relationship as a key component of God and our faith. God is willing to abide in and through each and every one of us. No matter what, not belittling or threatened, but sitting alongside any and every doubt we may have, Wonder is an amazing gift. Embrace every nation, all people. We are bound together in mercy and compassion of a loving God, a God who knows your name. You are beloved. Go out into the world in love and know that God goes with you. Amen.